forgot this part. Because after all of that, when he was laughing so hard through me while he was saying this. But the Holy Ghost was doing the laughter. I had never experienced anything like that. It was from way down. But also, the Holy Ghost was looking through my eyes, and it was angry. It was laughter. Man, you talk about feeling the terror of God. I was thinking while the Holy Ghost was preaching these things, and especially during the time when he was laughing so hard with the wrath of God coming through my eyes, staring down at all that dead gravel. I was thinking, God, don't ever laugh at me like this. God, on Judgment Day, don't let me hear this again. I don't ever want to hear you laugh at me like this. Whatever it takes for you to avoid God laughing at you like that, listen to this, is worth it. Here are the Bible verses that the Holy Ghost then started quoting to those stones. This is God to man. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The Holy Ghost started quoting that. And then laughed at what he knew was coming on this earth. And nobody's paying any attention. Nobody listening. It's as if the carnal mind thinks that if we can just get enough of us to be sinners, God won't really do what he said he was going to do to them. Solomon knew people thought like that, and that's why he said, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. Doesn't matter if everybody in the whole world votes that Allah is God. It doesn't make any difference. It didn't change a thing in heaven when the early Christian church voted that there was a Trinity. It didn't change a thing. Jesus looked over at God. His Father looked back at His Son. Who are they talking about down there? It didn't change a thing. It doesn't matter what we think. If we can just get in touch with God and have His thoughts come, amen. We are among all men most blessed. It's all that matters. It's all that really matters. Praise God. What difference does it make in heaven? Just repeat after me now. Can you see it up in heaven? They all start getting ready to shout. Oh, just wait till they finish reading this verse. That if, huh?
There's some places where it's up to the congregation to accept you in, too. Oh, well. It doesn't even matter what you want, it's what the congregation wants.
That's
you
right.
That's when you're presented before the congregation.
Is that right? I never knew about that one. I can't do it.
The pulpit committee has searched and searched and searched and finally found the right one.
Oh. What difference does it make if a billion people decide that when you're born again, you have gotten saved. What difference does it make? Doesn't the Bible say something about the Lord has His salvation with Him? His salvation is with Him? That's what we're looking forward to. That's why Paul said our salvation is nearer than when we believed. That's why Peter said, we believe we shall be saved, even as these Gentiles. That's why Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved.
Brings to life the one hope.
When Jesus comes back, He's coming back to save His people that have been faithful to Him. Amen. What difference does it make to Him and His Father for a billion people down there to say they're already saved? And Jesus up there saying, I ain't going down there yet. I've been keeping my eye on you. It just doesn't matter in heaven. In 1988, Jesus told me, you don't have any friends. And it was not just a description of my social life, it was a commandment. You are not to have any friends, is what he was saying. But you don't have any friends. I'm not after friendship. I don't care a thing about it. I don't have a friend in this room. What I'm after is fellowship. Fellowship in the light with Jesus. So that's life to me. Without that, you don't have life. I'm not interested in friendship that can fool you. And that's the pitfall of a lot of people is friendship. Women being sweet to each other, men with a big slap on the back, good old boy, the chuckle, the joke, it's garbage. Not interested in it. I want fellowship. And fellowship is when God has done for you what He has done for me, and I understand you. I understand you because that's what God's done for me. And that's what God wants for all His people everywhere. It's fellowship. One mind, one heart, one soul. Nothing but the truth is going to set people free. And the thoughts of God have to come in and rearrange our thoughts so that when we speak the words of God when we speak. And the lie that Christianity is built on is that you can be born again without the Spirit. That's the lie. That's the foundation of Christianity. If we can just take that in, we'll get away from that filthy thing, get into the Spirit, and stay there. And that's the best we can do. To walk in the Spirit of God is the best we can do for anybody. We can only obey God and hope that influences others to obey God so they can be saved. And really learn Him and get to know Him so that what we think is not confused. What we think is clear is what Jesus thinks, so we can love people the way Jesus loves them. And there's a whole lot of harm done to people by people trying to love them with not the love of God. There are more people lying for God than there are lying against Him because they just don't know. Misleading people, trying to do them good. Jesus said that there'd be some who would put you to death thinking to do God a service. How many tens of thousands have been slaughtered, burned alive by Christians thinking to do God a service? Whether it's American Indians, by the Jesuit missionaries, or people in Europe who wouldn't go along with the transubstantiation thing, or killed in the name of the Lord. That's a different God. That's a different Jesus. It's another spirit. What God wants us to do is to get so full of His Spirit that we don't even have Christianity as a reference point. Completely irrelevant to what we think and how we act. We're not glancing back at it to see how we're doing. We're not concerned with what it claims to be. We're lost in Jesus. That's the only place there's any relief, because things are in such a mess. It'll break your heart if all you can do is look at it. God's the only one to give us any relief. It isn't our mission to fix Christianity. It's our mission to obey God, who says, come out of it, walk in the Spirit, and that's how you're the light of the world. If anybody wants that light, they're welcome to it, because there's plenty to go around. God, just give us the courage to obey Him. Believe Him and obey Him.
John, I never will forget the couple years ago now. I got real interested in that word Christian, and got out the concordance and started looking it up, and found out that it was only in the Bible three times. And then studied and asked you questions and started understanding how that word was being used the three times that it was there. Mm-hmm. And it was like, wow, why can't everybody see this?
Yep.
But you've got to have a willing heart. It's just a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to see.
Amen. Amen. All of God's children. Donald, all of God's children do want to talk about the Spirit. All of them. Because if somebody doesn't have the Spirit of God, Paul said he's none of his. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So the ones who refuse to talk about it aren't God's. They just claim to be. They look like they are. They sound like they are. They have the right title. That's what the Spirit of God was preaching through me when He said, am I confused by your delusions? If men call men a priest, does that make him a priest? Am I confused about that? And He doesn't want us confused about it. In 76, Donald, when I was in the seminary, I had to give a presentation. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but it was about the Spirit. He was Southeastern Baptist. 40 Baptist ministers in there, Jesus put me in the place where I had to do it. I'll tell you the whole story later. So I had this paper written up. You had to have a paper for everybody. That was your sermon outline or a sermon. Actually typed out, and present the paper to the class. And the bottom line was, baptism of the Holy Ghost is not an option if you want to be saved. It's what Jesus suffered and died for. This isn't a game. So I gave it, and then we went into the separate rooms. We had three a day, three each class, and then we have a group discussion. In my group, there was a man there named Chuck, and he was angry, very angry. And he started talking about the cross. I don't preach anything but the cross. Paul said he didn't preach anything but the cross. He just went on about the cross and the cross. While I was sitting there, the Spirit gave me my answer for him. And I told him, I said, Chuck, when I was 18, 19, 20 in college, I had this black friend named Ralph. Ralph and I spent a lot of time together, went a lot of places. Ralph was a big, intimidating guy. Had his fraternity letters branded into his arm. He was a football player. I took him to a relative's house one night. Just dropped in. Decided we'd stop by. And Ralph and I walked in. Then Ralph walked in. And I had a relative who was sitting there. And Ralph came in, sat down on the couch. And my relative started talking, well, you know, I never have had anything against black people. It's never bothered me at all. I just went on. And I said, Chuck, you know why he said that? Because he did have something against black people, and it was bothering him. And I said, this is what the Lord told me to tell him. you watch soap operas in the afternoon, and they're, honey, I love you, and oh, darling, I couldn't live without you, and oh, baby doll, and oh, I love you, oh, I love you, I love you. I said, you know why they have to talk about it so much? Because they don't love them. And I said, you see, Jesus, he never went around saying, oh, Peter, honey, you're so cute. Oh, John, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know what kind of spirit you're of. That's what he talked plain stuff to them. But in John 13, when he got ready to die, he said, I want you to love one another the way I've loved you. And I said, it's the same way about the cross. I said, those who talk about it the most understand it the least. And I told him, you need to come out from behind the cross. Jesus isn't on it anymore. And his face got red as Sister Mama's shirt over there, pink. And he said, I don't appreciate you saying that. Well, it wasn't about me. That was the word of God for him. And as soon as he got over it, 2 weeks later, he'd go out of his way walking across campus just to walk with me to class. And then I remembered what Solomon said, he that rebuketh a man afterward will find more favor than he that flatters with his lips. And I expect somewhere along the way Chuck received the Holy Ghost, because that word of God came for him. It wasn't against him, it was for him. It's not the cross. I hate that Roman tool of torture. I bet Jesus does. Nothing holy about it at all. I love the result of it, though.
Amen.
I'm glad Jesus was willing to go through it. But I have no love for it at all. None. So the life God wants us to have is life in the Spirit, without being troubled in our thoughts or influenced in our thoughts by Christianity. Just free. Just free to obey God. Without reference to anything else.
Free to talk to Jesus.
Yes.
Free to get by yourself and just talk to Jesus. Say, Jesus, why did you come here? And what is it you want? And find out what Jesus wants.
And what he wants now.
What he wants right now.
Because whatever it is what we want. Whether we know it or not. Whatever he wants is what we want. My God, what a mess that God's people are in. God, help us to do our part. God, help us do our part for our brothers and sisters scattered all through the world and in Christianity. God, help us do our part. Save us, O God, from self-will. Save us from error. Save us from darkness. Save us, God, from going our own way, and lead us by your Spirit down the path that leads to victory and peace. God, help your people. God, raise up pastors for them after your own heart. Pour out your Spirit on them, God. Pour out your Spirit on them, God. Bless them wherever they are. God, bless them. God, bless them. Send them the help, God, they need. Send them the food they're hungry for. God, bless your inheritance. God, bless your people. God, bless your people. Oh, God, help your people. It was a common practice in the ancient world, if a baby was born in a house that was the wrong gender or just unwanted in general, that the head of the house would take it and lay it out beside the road or out in the field, and first come, first serve. Dogs came, got it. People came. Poor people come needing another hand, free slave. On the farm, it was called exposing children. It was legal. God describes here in Ezekiel 16, finding Israel in that case. This is what he's describing, an exposed baby, an unwanted baby. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. As for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. Thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, time of marriage. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skins, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. Thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, as if it was hers, and played the harlot because of thy renown, and poured out thy fornications on every one that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take and decked thy high places with diverse colors and played the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men and didst commit whoredom with them, and took thy broidered garments and covered the idols. And thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for those other gods? And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at the head of every way or road. That's what he's talking about. And hast made thy beauty to be abhorred. By whom? God. Men will follow. And hast opened thy feet to everyone that passed by and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh. Worship their gods. And hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee and have diminished thine ordinary food, and have delivered thee into the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way, worse than the heathen. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians and worshipped their gods. That's what he's talking about. Because thou wast insatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldest not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, Abraham's birthplace. And yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as a harlot, in that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery which taketh strangers instead of her husband. Men give gifts to all whores, but you give your gifts to all your lovers and hire them. Is that not still happening? God's people are hiring men to lie to them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee. Therefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Then he tells his unfaithful wife what's going to happen. Now, God knew all that was going to happen back in Deuteronomy. But nobody can say he didn't try to stop it before it took place. Deuteronomy 13. The entire chapter of Deuteronomy 13 is telling Israelites what to do if they are tempted by some to go worship other gods. Number one, what if a prophet or a fortune teller, dreamer of dreams, prophesies something's going to happen, and it happens. And then they say, let's go worship other gods. Verse 5, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Well, what if it's a relative? If your brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let's go down and visit the Canaanites and serve other gods. This is what to do about it. Number one, you shall not consent unto him, nor even listen to him. Neither shalt thine eye pity him. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. Tell on him.
Amen.
But thou shalt surely kill him. Because God never wanted chapter 16 in Ezekiel to be written. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Well, what about, you know, you've covered relatives and you've covered prophets and professional religious leaders. What about just anybody else? Okay, well, let's read about them. If thou shalt hear a rumor, hear say in one of thy cities which the Lord thy God has given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, have gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently. And behold, if it be truth and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is in that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shalt burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof, every whit, for the Lord thy God and it shall be an heap forever. It shall not be rebuilt. That's how much God hated it, because of what it would do to his people. And there shall cleave naught of the cursed thing to thine hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show thee mercy and have compassion upon thee and multiply thee as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, when thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep all his commandments which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. Who did Paul say this was written for? Written for our learning and our exhortation and our comfort, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In this covenant, God has not given you a law written with pen and ink, paper. He's given you this same law, but it's spiritual. When you received the Holy Ghost, you received on the inside the law that God gave to Moses on the outside. That was the only problem with the law, is that it was on the outside of people. And God is, if anything, more jealous because of the price that was paid for it to be here. All they had to do was sacrifice some goats and animals, other animals, for that blood to sprinkle on the people at Mount Sinai, and the book and the altar, all the rest of the tabernacle furniture. But whose blood sprinkled you? In Romans chapter 8, Paul said that if the Spirit, that's the real blood of Christ, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, God shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Whenever a prophet, a Christian minister, or any other kind, or dreamer of dreams, tries to lead you away from the understanding that without the Holy Ghost, you're not getting up out of the grave in the first resurrection. Spiritually speaking, you are to put that person to death so that his doctrine has no influence over you. Because it's not just another wrong idea. It is exactly what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2 when he called it a damnable heresy. Jesus suffered incredible torture and pain and death and a bunch of ridicule before he died to make the Holy Ghost available. Because he knew that without it, you'll be lost. He didn't suffer and die to make something available if you just felt like you needed it. Or if you just felt like you wanted it. He went through that because it was absolutely necessary. It washes away sin. Paul said that in his letters, he taught us this, that we have access to God through one Spirit. We're made one by one Spirit. We're all baptized into one body by that Spirit. And any man who tries to lure you away with a miracle or with a fine, eloquent speech, any relative, do not hide it. Do not pity them. Tell on them. Refuse them. In your heart, stone them. So that they have no influence over you. Because that's how important it is to God. It's important that people know you must be born again and know what that is. That's the most important thing in life. And it is evil for ministers to leave people the impression that it's not absolutely necessary. And when you hear that, you ought to rise up in your spirit and say, that is wrong. Amen. Jesus is right. He didn't die for an option. He died to make the way, the one way to God. And He made it. And it's the least we can do, considering what He went through, to stand up and speak for it.
Amen.
Especially if you've received it, it's the least you can do to say, no, that's not right. What I have is holy and must be had. It's the least you can do if you've been made right with the Holy Ghost to tell people you're not right without it.
Amen.
That's the least. That's the starting block. That's baby stuff.
Amen.
That's baby stuff, knowing when a person's born again. That's no deep doctrine. What was Paul talking about when he said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his? That's what he meant. You know the deep meaning of that verse? The deep meaning is, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Contemplate on that. It means exactly what it says. What did He mean? What did Paul mean when he said, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body? Glory to God. And the Spirit is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And it's important. Most of God's people are hiring men to tell them that they don't need it. Paying for their own poison. And wondering why they just can't get free. Filled with darkness. Persuaded to believe they can't stop sinning. Didn't even talk about it. How wicked they are. As if that's a righteous thing to say. I tell you what's a righteous thing to say. Is say, I'm holy. I have been made holy by the Holy Ghost. That's a good thing to talk about. Amen. And you can be led by the Spirit. And you can speak the words of God when you speak. And you can feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. You can be alive. That's good. Talk about those things. Amen. When you meet Jesus on Judgment Day, you had better be having communion. Communion is absolutely required in order to be saved. That's why we're having it right now. You gotta have this. You gotta have this. Communion with God. If you like grape juice, drink it at home. Then come have communion with God. If you like it. Don't like it, drink apple juice. Then come have communion with God. Oh, glory to God. You really think? Do God's people really think that Jesus stood there when a word of His mouth would have destroyed the universe? He stood there in a human body and let them beat His back raw, blindfold Him, hit Him with their fist in the face and mock Him and say, which one of us did it? You such a great prophet. And jerk His beard out of His face and spit on Him and nail Him to a tree so that we could get together and drink half an ounce of grape juice and eat a cracker? You really think so? Praise God! Amen! that they might have crackers and have them more abundantly. It's something like that. It's something like that. Glory to God. No, I see it. There's something, there's a scripture that's like that. I am the true cracker out of heaven. You know what I saw? You know what I saw the other day in this Christian bookstore on Church Street? For $6.99, you can have 500 communions with God. All of them exactly the same size so that your communion with God is not more than your communion with God. In a box, wrapped up. 500 wafers, exactly the same size for just $6.99. You think that's terrible? What do you want? $5.99? It's pitiful. God's people are in bondage to Christianity. Jesus came to set us free, to have access to the Father. He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread. I'm the bread. You've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. No, I see you. You may tell you a holy thing to do with one of those communion wafers, throw it down and stomp on it and leave it for the ants, and you get in touch with God. Amen. Those wafers, if somebody handed you one, you ought to look at him and then go to somebody and say, he wanted me to eat a wafer. That'd be a holy thing to do. Did you see that? That's what God just said, do. You shall not conceal him.
Amen.
That preacher gets that natural stuff spread out. You ought, the congregation ought to look at each other and say, you see what he's trying to get us to do? They ought to be turning around in the pews and saying, ah, I can't believe this. What is this? You could take that whole box of wafers and eat it all yourself and still be hungry. I'm telling you, the God of Christianity is a stingy God.
Amen.
Give you a little half ounce of grape juice or wine. Jesus will give you the whole bottle if you want it. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's not stingy. He doesn't give it out in half ounce shots. Ghost, do you want to drink? It's a river. Just how much do you want to drink? just a little touch every once in a while. Whee! Okay. Is that all? That's your limit? You got to drive home or something? Oh, glory to God. Amen. I've seen it. I know what I'm talking about. They expect Jesus to hand out the Holy Ghost in half-ounce shots. Get a little touch. Look. It'd be all right if all of us could just be wiped out by the Holy Ghost. Jesus would be happy to give you as much as you want to drink. And any doctrine that short circuits that is from Satan, not from God. Any doctrine. It doesn't matter if it talks about the blood, talks about the cross, talks about Jesus, talks about God. What's it getting to you? Is it short-circuiting the Holy Ghost moving through you? Do you feel anything from it? Is it healing you? Doing you any good? No. Paul went, traveled in the area of Galatia and got them started out in the Holy Ghost. Some guys came behind him and said, well, you need to add this ceremony. You need to add, you know, baptism and water. You need to add this. You need to add that holy day. And Paul said, I wish they were cut off from God. Because he knew what the result would be. You add a ceremony to the Holy Ghost and it will take over and you'll be dead in no time. You'll be just another Christian group that wonders why it isn't like it used to be. You'll die because it is death. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's an abundance of drinking the Holy Ghost. We've all been made to drink of one Spirit, Paul said. So it's just a matter of how thirsty you are. That's all it is. At what point does your heart stop being willing? At what point does your soul stop thirsting for righteousness? That's all that matters. That's all it is. God would not put his stamp of approval on those kinds of doctrines, with Christian ceremonies and Christian attitudes and Christian spirit and the Christian Jesus and the Christian God. He wouldn't put his stamp of approval on it by giving people the Holy Ghost. We'll just say you've got the Spirit. We'll tell you you're having communion. Yeah, we'll tell you you're righteous. We'll tell you your sins are okay. We'll just say to you that you're ready to meet God. You don't have to have those kind of experiences with God that let you know it. We'll just tell you. Just believe us. Don't go by your feelings. Go by my feelings. Go by what I tell you. Jesus said these signs will follow them that believe. You reckon he knew what he was talking about? He wasn't just getting carried away now, was he? Yeah, he was getting carried away. Long way away. I want to go with him. Amen. And when the signs started diminishing that came from within, they started hanging the signs outside. The church is here. The church. Some of them even got blinking signs. Some of them great big steeples. stay away from places of worship where they have that Roman tool of torture on top. They'll do the same thing to you they did to Jesus when he came. They're boasting of their victory over the Son of God, and they don't even have the victory. We got the victory. Stay away from them, I'm telling you. That sound real mean. Well, I mean it. Stay away from them if you want to save your soul. There's death in the pot. Death in the pot. And those spirits come around, I start throwing my stones. I start pointing at them and say, look at that. Do you hear what I said? Kill him. Get him out of here. Oh, glory to God. God's got bouncers in his kingdom. They're called porters in the Bible. They stood at the gate to keep, make sure nothing unclean got in the courthouse yard, in the temple court yard. They were bouncers. They were Levites. Praise God. Amen. Gentile tried to get in. They said, no, sir. Go get circumcised. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. They're tough guys. They didn't have any friends either. Glory to God. Praise God. They'd bounce one of God's children out if he came unclean. That was their job. If they didn't bounce them out, God bounced them out. Amen. There's got to be some kind of zeal for the truth if God's people are going to be happy. Got to be some kind of excitement at finding out what's really right. You got to put it into practice. And if you get something out of it, it'll go into practice. Amen. Matter of fact, the Holy Ghost doesn't even need any practice. It'll do it right the first time you turn it loose. Amen. Amen. First time. The first time you speak in tongues will be perfect. To you, it'd be 100% right. He's not trying to be happy. He's not trying to be holy. He's not trying to be right. He's already there. 100%. Never been anything else. Amen. Praise God. And God in Deuteronomy 13 is begging his people to have the understanding to know how important that is. Not to let his commandments for them be tainted. Not to be fooled. Not to be fooled. I've got enough sense to know that in the general scheme of things, this room can't compete with Canterbury Cathedral. If God's people would go into Canterbury Cathedral, you know how they'd act? Click, 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 click. And you
walk in here.
Walk in here. Oh, glory to God. They know how to show respect to Christianity, but they don't know how to show respect to their father. You show respect to your father by coming before him and getting drunk. Thou shalt rejoice before the Lord your God. Amen. It's a feast. You're supposed to eat, drink, and be merry. Amen. No. What better way to honor Jesus than to enjoy what he suffered and died for? What greater respect can you show God than to show him that his son didn't die in vain? Praise God. When Jesus watches you, is he up there saying, oh, I wonder if it was worth it? Or is he looking to the Father saying, I'm glad. I'm glad I went through it. I'm glad I suffered what I suffered. You make Jesus feel that way, God loves you. That's what Jesus told his disciples. Because you have loved me, my Father loves you, and we're going to come take our abode up in you. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost came, the Father and the Son took their abode in them. And they began to eat that meat Jesus said they didn't know anything about. And drink that drink they didn't know anything about. When he passed them that cup of wine and said, drink ye all of it. He said, this is my blood. It wasn't his blood. His blood was in his body. It represented his blood. It represented what was still on the inside of him that he wanted them to have. And when the Holy Ghost came, they got it. Amen. They didn't know need to pass around any glasses and say, drink ye all of it. They were drinking all of it. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen. It's still flowing. Amen. Blood of Christ is still flowing. Amen. Still washing. Amen. Sanctifies. Washes away sin. Amen. The blood that was in Jesus' body was natural blood. He had a natural body. He had natural fingernails, natural hair, natural blood, natural stomach, natural liver, natural heart. He had a natural body. It was corruptible. If it hadn't been raised up after 3 days, it would have turned back to dust just like everybody else's natural body. But he didn't allow his son to see corruption because he woke him up too early. But Peter said, we are redeemed not by corruptible things, such as silver and gold, other corruptible things, or this wall right here, your hair on your head, your pencils, natural water, air you breathe. All of those things are corruptible things. They can be changed, done away with, altered, polluted, all of them. They're all corruptible things. But we were redeemed, he said, by something incorruptible. The precious blood of the Lamb. Now that blood that flowed out on his side and his veins when he was crucified, that was corruptible. That's not what redeemed us. It had to happen. But what redeemed us was when his real blood came on the day of Pentecost and Peter stood and preached and he said, this that you see and hear is that which was shed. Amen. That's what you got to drink. Amen. We being many, Paul said, are one body and one bread. So when Sandy gets up and gives her testimony, or Carol, whenever she gives her testimony, or Brother Jim, we're eating. It's the bread. It's the body. He said you had to eat it. Glory to God. And when you take in that Holy Ghost and it starts flowing through you, you're drinking something. You're drinking that incorruptible thing that redeemed you to God. And it's important. You don't compromise on that. You can compromise if the government passes a law that says you got to wear a blue shirt on Tuesday. You can handle that. You can compromise on everything that this world has to offer up to the point where it says, disobey God. Amen. Amen. You know why we have meetings on Sunday? Because we live in this culture. Most of you don't work on Sunday. Sunday's no holy day any more than today's a holy day. God doesn't have holy days anymore. He has holy people. Amen. That makes every day good. Amen. You can have rest all the time. Amen. Praise God. You don't compromise holy things. You put them to death no matter who it is. the wife of your bosom, your friend that you love as your own soul, your brother, your mother, your father. That's what Jesus said. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers and my sisters? Those that hear the word of God and do it. Let God determine who your mother is, who your brother is, who your sister is. He's the only one who knows. We can look at Israel and we can see God through Moses and all his prophets begging, pleading with his people, don't worship idols, don't worship idols, don't worship idols, don't go after other gods. And we can watch Israel build them, worship the stars and the moon as they eventually did, and burn their children in the fire to Molech and all the things that they did, and sit there and just, oh, Israel, why couldn't you have better sense than that? What is wrong with the baptism Jesus gives? Why do we have 511 different kinds of Christian baptism when Jesus has his? Paul said there was only one. It's real easy to see it when they're building those idols. But what about idols in the heart? Same spirit. That's where it was then. Old or New Testament. When God has created a communion through the blood of Christ, can't we just be satisfied with that? Instead of just looking back at Old Testament Israel and saying, why in the world did they have to worship on the high places? Boy, those old people, why didn't they see? Well, why don't we see that the communion Jesus suffered and died for is perfect? And if you add one, you take away from it.
The place that I was going to worship, we still have the communion. Bishop didn't have that revelation, but he did have the revelation of the Holy Ghost. He knew you were going to
be in. Yeah.
When you had the Holy Ghost, he had that.
Amen.
So I had that in me. And then when I took John's class, and he started talking about communion, and you know, I said, doing away with communion and water baptism. I said, wait a minute now, those are sacred cows. Those are my sacred cows. But you know, and the Lord just let me, it was so funny when he would come across something. I said, oh goodness, you have killed another cow.
Let's eat it. Offer it to Jehovah.
And he kept shooting them until all my cows were dead. He killed all my sacred cows. The Lord didn't let me pray about it. The Lord didn't let me rebel against it. But it was just in a funny.
Glory to
so
God.
To me. I said, uh-oh, you shot another one.
Amen.
Somebody told me one day, he told Doreza, when she took the clay, he said, Sister Willie got a freezer full of beef. He had killed all my sacred cows. And he killed them all. And, you know, I was glad to let them go. You know, and I was just sitting thinking, you know, how the Lord, it was just the goodness of God, you know, that the Lord didn't even let me have an attitude.
Amen.
And I kept the right attitude, listening to that stuff. And the Lord let it go right down into my heart, and I accepted it.
Amen.
And today I can embrace
glory
that.
Glory to God.
And I love it.
If you love the feelings of the Holy Ghost, if you love being filled up with it, refreshed with it, if you love the joy and the peace and the righteousness of the Holy Ghost, then you can receive the message that is telling you that you're doing things that's keeping you from getting more of it.
That's right.
But you have to love the feelings that the Holy Ghost gives you. Just fall in love with what Jesus is doing for you. I'll tell you, glory to God. And when I tell you that you're quenching, that you're blocking off Jesus wanting to give you more feelings when you quench the Spirit to be still so you won't spill grape juice on you. That's a relief to somebody that wants more of Jesus. It's to stay full. You have to quench the Spirit to be baptized with water, or you choke. Trying to shout underneath that water.
But I know today it would have been hard washing those glasses today.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amen. Yeah.
You'd be stomping them instead of washing
them. Oh, it was rough.
They're worthless.
Those glasses would have started being dirty and you would have got fired.
That's right. That's the truth.
Look, I'm laughing, but my freeze is filling up too. But I'm like you. I mean, I've been in church all my life, but I knew something was wrong. And I mean, as bad as taking communion, I've been told I couldn't take it anymore in the church I was in 21 years. Now, how about that?
Amen.
I don't know if that cow could get in the
prison. They're doing you a favor, really.
That's right. That's a blessing.
You had to buy a new freezer for that one.
You know, I said, ask him what happened, and it was a great revelation when I said, I feel like I had to unlearn. We were just talking back and forth, and I said, I had to unlearn so many things, and it was like just a ball being tied up with string. And I finally got all that old cord, the cords off of me.
Praise
and,
God.
And when I got all that old string and all that old stuff that had me bound up, that I had to unlearn, now it's all off, and I can take it in.
Amen.
But I couldn't take it in until I got until I got unbound. Bounders couldn't be free till they got
string.
You know, when he hopped out there, but he was still bound.
That's right.
And see, but he had to get the grave clothes off of him because he was bound up. When I first came in, and I was thinking, how many years have I been in here? Ronnie and I were talking about it coming on this morning. I said, baby, I lost track of the years. How many years have we been coming? He said, well, Mom, I was in middle school. And he said, it's third year of high school. I said, it must have been about 5 or 6 years, you know. But it took that long to get all those old strings, every one of them, all that old board that had me bound, everything that I had to unlearn and undo from Christianity that I had taken in over the years. Well, I feel like now, and the Lord just dropped that in, but this morning we were talking, every string I feel, the last string is off. And I'm not bound anymore, so now I'm free, and I can take in everything.
Amen.
And I can enjoy everything. All the truth is nothing got me bound now. I can just accept every bit of it.
Amen.
And enjoy.
Amen.
And it, you know, it's great. Mm. And you know, I value it. I see it for the value that it is.
Yeah,
I can see it.
Great.
And I can feel it. And I can taste it. I can get the full value of it. I don't take it lightly.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Ooh, glory to God. And you know, it's a great thing when God gives you a revelation. You see a thing, you say, I got it. That's it.
Yeah.
I got it.
That's right.
I got it.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
Praise God. That's Jesus singing, I got it.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.